of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit, not good fruit, is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. So, we all know the story of Little Red Riding Hood. Before she was off to Grandma's house, they told her not to go off the path, to stay on the path, because it's dangerous out there in the woods. And she gets to Grandma's house, and she's greeted by a strange-looking Grandma. There was something different. There was something not quite right about Grandma whenever she saw her there lying in bed. And Grandma talks to her, and you know what Little Red Riding Hood says? She says, "What a deep voice you have. All the better to greet you with," the wolf says. "Oh, goodness, what big eyes you have. All the better to see you with. What big hands you have. All the better to hug you with. And then lastly, what a big mouth you have." And you know what the wolf says? "All the better to eat you with." There's a lot of versions of the story I was reading about. The original one ends right there. In the original story, Little Red Riding Hood dies. But then the other versions come along, and one version a hunter rescues her, another one a woodsman comes and kills the wolf, and so forth. But this story is common through many cultures, and these stories are good because they teach us lessons. There are powerful ways to communicate these lessons. You know, when was the last time that you heard the story of Little Red Riding Hood? But as soon as I started saying that, some of you were grinning because you probably remember it. You remember the story from a child or telling to your kids. They stick with you. And Jesus, in his preaching, oftentimes uses stories like this and illustrations that just stick with you. Already just in this Sermon on the Mount, think of all the little illustrations and word pictures Jesus gives us to illustrate and get his point across. Talking about the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And Jesus was talking about lighting a candle and putting it under a bushel. That nobody would do that. And if you think about that, it's kind of silly to have a light a candle and hide it under a bushel. It does you no good. But that kind of statement, that kind of story sticks with you. Not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Or the story about the man who had a beam in his eye, a log in his eye, trying to help a man with a little speck in his eye. That's kind of a funny scenario to think about, but he uses that to get us to think, and these things stick in our minds. There's one where the dad, he said, dad, if a boy asked him for something to eat, for some bread, would he give him a rock? Or if he asked for a fish, would he give him a snake? The story about the straight way and the narrow gate and the broad way, all these stories kind of stick in our minds, and they illustrate important spiritual truths. Well, the section I read tonight has two of those stories. The first one was the wolf in sheep's clothing. The wolf, like in Little Red Riding Hood, that is probably where that story came from, is this a parable that Jesus tells here. A dangerous wolf hiding and disguising himself to prey upon someone who is weaker and undiscerning. And then another story illustration about fruit and an orchard. So Christ has these two little stories here for us tonight, and they have a very important point for us. He tells us to beware of false prophets, because they're dangerous. They're subtle. You can be easily confused if you don't pay attention, if you're not discerning. You can be easily tricked by one of these false prophets. And that's the first story. And the second story is how you can spot one of these false prophets. And so he uses the wolf, and he uses the orchard to teach us this lesson. So the first thing Jesus says here is beware. Beware of false prophets. So that's the theme of that section. Take heed. Be on the lookout for false prophets and their false doctrines. And it's not simply just a difference of opinion. It's not a preference issue. But Jesus says beware because they are dangerous. False prophets are dangerous to you. So be on the lookout. Be on guard. Well, how are you going to beware of such a false prophet? What do you need? Well, first you need to know what the dangers are. And second, you need to know how to protect yourself. if you just say beware, well, beware of what? You know, what am I supposed to be on the lookout for? And if I am supposed to be on the lookout for something, what am I supposed to do if I spot it? Well, Jesus tells us here. He tells us what to be on the lookout for, why, and how to protect ourselves. The false prophet is a very dangerous individual, and you have to be on the lookout. You have to be aware of him. The false prophet here is described as a hungry, vicious wolf. And it's not just the doctrine, but it's the man himself. Beware of false prophets. Not just the doctrine, but beware of the man himself. Because the man and his doctrine are dangerous to your soul. Well, we read in the beginning of this chapter, it says, judge not. And ever since then, Jesus has been telling us to judge, hasn't he? He's told us to judge in verse 6 by not giving that which is holy into the dogs or casting the pearls before the swine. We're to judge about the straight gate versus the narrow way. Now we're to judge false prophets. Now we're to judge people. So this does not conflict with what Jesus said about not judging. He told us to be on the lookout. And the only way you can be on the lookout for a person is you have to be able to judge them. You have to be able to look at them and to judge them. And Jesus even tells us how we are to judge them. And just, you know, we already read it there, that you judge them by their fruits, by their works. So this isn't in conflict with that. We are supposed to judge these people. If a man stands up and preaches, then you have every right, every responsibility to judge him and to judge his works. Your responsibility is to judge me and my words tonight. You are to be discerning about what I'm saying. And you are to discern if what I'm saying matches up with what this book says. Jesus warns that if somebody comes and says, I've got a word from God, then you have to be discerning and to judge whether those things are being true, because it's dangerous. You know, out in Idaho, when we went out there, I wanted to look around and some of the trout streams, and we just, me and Crystal, drove around in the mountains and so forth for a little while, and we entered a state park, and there was a sign as soon as you entered in. It says this was grizzly bear territory, and it gives you all the warning signs of what you need to do and not do if you see a grizzly bear and that sort of thing. Well, we didn't stop, and I didn't say, well, how judgmental. How judgmental for them to accuse these poor woodland creatures of viciousness. No, it was there for a warning. Why? Because they're dangerous. And if you do the wrong thing or act the wrong way, when you get too close to one of those things, your life is in danger. Or a predator of a different sort. You know, they have the registry of a sexual predator moves into the area. He's got to register himself. And you can go on a website and look and see if there's somebody in the area. Why? Because he's harmed people before and he might do it again. It's there out of love to warn innocent people of the possible danger. It is not judgmental to warn people of danger. It's loving. And Jesus is loving here. And he's saying, out of love to his disciples, you need to beware. You need to be on guard and be on the lookout, because here's danger. And this is how you spot these dangerous people. False prophets are dangerous because they harm men's souls. They follow after their father, the devil. They're sons of the wicked one. And the reason they're so dangerous is because they're dealing with eternity. False doctrine, a damnable gospel, is more and a greater threat than a mass shooting. That is the greater threat to this world. Are not terrorists, and they're not mass shooters coming in with guns. It is false doctrine. Because one can kill the body, but the other can kill the soul. The other will damn the soul. A false doctrine that is spreading lies and telling you other ways to go to heaven. These false prophets are preaching things that if you believe them, you'll die and spend an eternity in hell. That is far more dangerous than than anyone that would just merely kill the body. So you have to be aware, because it's deadly. There's real and eternal consequences. False prophets can harm you and they can harm your family. As John said, Brother Harold mentioned in Sunday school, do not wish them Godspeed or let them into your homes. And that's not just personally, but I think on television or on the radio or anything else, you have to be careful to not allow these false prophets into your home. They are wolves. They're hungry, devouring wolves. A ravening wolf is like one that is hungry to the point of rage. It is so desirous of food that you just can't get around it, because it'll just snap at anything. That's the idea of here. And that's the picture Jesus paints for us. It's a wolf dressed up in sheep's clothing. So if we could unmask this wolf in disguise and look at him and just see him for a moment, to take off the mask and see them for the vicious person that they are, and look beyond the pearly whites and look beyond the nice clothing and look beyond their books and their TV shows and all those kind of things, and you can see them standing over their victims for what they are. Not a charismatic, well-spoken, highly educated man, but a wolf who is desiring your destruction. That's what Jesus said these false prophets are. They're evil. There they are. They stand at the straight gate, and they'll guide you on past the straight gate, and they'll lure you off the narrow way and back into the dark forest. That is their goal. That is their desire. Have you ever come across a strange dog, and at first you don't know if it's friendly or not, but when you get a little bit closer to it, it starts showing those teeth and starts growling, and the hair starts standing up on its back, and just that slow growl? Well, this is the false prophet. If you were to unmask him, this is what he looks like. This is what he looks like, and he desires not food, but he desires your soul. Wolves are dangerous, false prophets are dangerous. But the greater danger here is not that it's just a wolf, but it's the wolf in disguise. Now, if church was over and we're starting to walk outside and there was a big wolf comes up on the porch there and is snarling and growling and the slobber coming off its fangs and all that, we would be aware of that. And I doubt anybody would just walk on right past it and act like it's not there and think that there's no problem. We would see it and we would be aware. But that's not the issue here. Jesus said the issue is the wolves are not presenting themselves as wolves. They are presenting themselves like a sheep. This wolf is in disguise, and that's where the danger is. If someone comes up to us and said, I'm a false prophet, and I'm here to lie to you about what the Bible says, and I'm going to say that God told me something, but I'm really just lying to you to deceive you and to trick you. Well, of course we're not going to believe that, right? We would say, well, thanks for telling me you're a liar. I'll stay away from you. But that's not what the wolf is going to do here. He's in disguise. He's acting like a sheep. In the Bible, of course, Psalm 23, and Jesus tells us several times that he is the shepherd. The Lord says, he is our shepherd. He is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the caring shepherd. God is our shepherd. And then God illustrates his people as sheep. So as Jesus is the great shepherd, all God's elect are his sheep. And God protects his sheep and cares for his sheep and leads them beside the still waters and into the green pastures. So God is the shepherd. His people are the sheep. If you are not a believer in Christ, you're referred to as a goat in the Bible in these illustrations. Jesus is talking to sheep. So here you have a bunch of sheep in your mind. They're grazing together. They're all out there. And all they see is grass and other sheep. They're out on the hills with the other sheep. They're all together in the fold. All is well in the world. But what Jesus says, and he's telling his sheep here, he said, you need to be aware. Because if you don't look closely, you won't notice that among you is a wolf. He doesn't look like a wolf because he's in disguise. This wolf is on the prowl. He's gotten smart. He's taken the wool and put it over top of himself. And he's got a mask where he looks like a sheep. And he's walking around with the sheep. And he's sniffing the grass with the sheep. But he is not a sheep. He's right here among you. So you can't just go about your merry way. You need to be paying attention, because among the sheep, there's a wolf who's dressed like a sheep. He's in disguise. That's the danger. See, the wolf and the sheep are not friends. They're enemies. But the sheep really are defenseless against the wolves. They can't run, they can't hide, they can't fight. Philip Keller was a shepherd, and he wrote a book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's a pretty interesting book if you haven't read it. But he wrote this and about one of his flocks. He said, two wild dogs has been known to kill as many as 290 sheep in a single night. He said, ewes, heavy and lamb, when chased by dogs or other predators, will slip their unborn lambs and lose them. A shepherd's loss from such an event could be appalling. One morning at dawn, I found 9 of my choicest ewes, all soon to lamb, lying dead in the field. So a shepherd could go to sleep at night and wake up and a great portion of his flock have been destroyed by a wolf or a wild dog. They're not friends. The wolf is the predator who goes after the weak and the unsuspecting. They are the primary enemy, the sheep and the shepherd. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, and read this whole chapter later on. We won't take the time to, but examine this chapter a little bit. Ezekiel chapter 22, and it says in verse 25, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst of her, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and the precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Beware these false prophets who have come in sheep's clothing. These false prophets who see their prey as souls, devouring souls, coming to take advantage of the weak and unsuspecting. Beware them, Jesus says. These bloodthirsty, soul-thirsty predators are hungry against truth and God's people. See, the truth will expose the wolf. Now, they'll have a doctrine, but not a biblical doctrine. They'll have highly polished words to draw sheep in closer for prey. And undiscerning Christians who trust men who stand behind a pulpit, or people who write books and have them published in Christian bookstores, will read them and listen to them and follow these people, because they look just like sheep. And they quote the Bible. And they have big followings. And they're sold in Christian bookstores, and these people should be trusted, they say. Say, well, I want to listen to this guy. He's a little bit different than everybody else. I don't want to listen to that same old stuff I hear out of church. This guy seems different. He's got a new perspective. He's just a little bit different. Though his majestic, eloquent voice and smooth delivery is just the better to teach you with. And his perceptive theories and the way he sees the Bible with a new, fresh perspective is just, he uses those big eyes to see you with. And his big hands, who do so much charitable work and create opportunities for the youth and write books and all those things, are big, just so the better to hug you with. And we all know what the big mouth is for, right? To devour you. Be aware. Be aware. He's in disguise. He talks like a Christian because he speaks about Jesus. He talks about the church and preaches about the love of God and loving neighbors. But the problem is he is not a sheep. He is a wolf. He's putting on sheep's clothing and he's talking like a sheep. And he walks like a sheep and he hangs out with the sheep. But he's a funny looking sheep. He's not the same. There's something off. And the thing is, he's in disguise. He's a wolf. The false prophet preaches another Jesus. A Jesus that doesn't save. A Jesus who isn't God. A Jesus who didn't come in the flesh. A Jesus who doesn't judge. A Jesus who isn't a Messiah. A Jesus that isn't Lord. That's the Jesus of the false prophet. That's a false Jesus and a false gospel. And beware. Because the scheme is to deceive. You know, the dogs and the swine are easy to spot. Jesus said, cast not your... or give not which is holy to the dogs, or cast your pearls before the swine. They're easy to spot. They're openly vicious and opposed to Jesus Christ. They hate Christ, and they're glad to let you know that they hate Christ. But the wolf is patient. He will wait patiently and pretend. And he'll follow and say the right things for a while. Because he's patient. He's trying to deceive. We have to be in guard and look for these imposters. They're in Galatians, as we're studying on Sunday night. What is Paul warning about? People who preach the false gospel. Wolves. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, Paul warns the Ephesian elders to look out. He said, because there are wolves among you. This wasn't something that was just going to happen once. It had already begun to happen. And it was happening there in Ephesus in the book of Acts. That there were wolves among that church. He warned Timothy from the very beginning because the wolves, they knew if they could get in the door, it's much easier to destroy a people than it is by force. 2 Corinthians 11 through 15 tells us that Satan will come and present himself as an angel of light. Satan knows that it is much easier to deceive people through imitation and deception and subtlety than it is just to come in by force. That's what he did to Eve in the garden. He came subtly. He'll come as an angel of light, of someone who has a little bit of light, and people will follow. But the false prophet will mimic their father, the devil. They'll hide at the door of the straight gate and say, don't listen to those old fundamentalists. Don't listen to those old preachers. You follow us. We've got a new way, a new perspective. They prey upon the poor seeking answers. They prey upon people who are burdened by sin. They prey upon someone whose conscience has been pricked and wounded, and they heal those wounds slightly. Those who are burdened and broken in life, and those who are sick, those who are hurting, those who are tired and looking for relief, the false prophets will prey upon them. I was listening to, I don't know if you guys know who he is, Benny Hinn, one of those healers that are on TV. Well, I was listening to the radio, and his nephew has been saved. His nephew used to follow him around and work in that ministry where the Lord saved him. And he's coming out of that, and he's trying to warn people of he's a false prophet. And that's what they prayed on, he said. They would prey upon the sick and the hurting and the needing, because they would be more willing to buy whatever it is that they were selling. And so they would have those big crusades, those healing crusades, where he'd come and lay hands on them, and people would fall down. We said they have a wheelchair section. And the wheelchair section is all the way in the back, in the right-hand corner of the arenas and so forth, away from the camera, away from everybody else. And they keep those people in the wheelchairs back there because they don't want people that can't walk to come up there, because they won't be healed. It's the people who have sore backs and bad knees and things that you can't see and they can't verify. Well, he's a false prophet, but he's preying on these people. These people are desperate. And they'll do anything if they think they can be healed or their children can be healed. That's what these false prophets do. They're wolves. And they come in the name of Jesus. And they talk the Bible, and they hold the Bible in their hands, and they talk about the church, and they talk about faith and grace and all these things. But they're lies, what they're peddling. The wolves give assurance where there is no assurance, telling the sinner not to worry about sin, and that God loves them and with no basis in the gospel. That you can stand before God justified just by your own works. It's a deadly, deadly doctrine they preach. The wolves don't look like wolves. They don't show you who they are. They're trying to look the part. So it might be difficult to spot them at first. They look like every other sheep. They look like every other man pointing the way to eternal life. But there's a nice moral man with a Bible in his hand. You know, he must be a good man. Well, this is the person that Jesus says, beware, pay attention. You have to judge. You know, if wolves stayed off to themselves, it wouldn't be a problem. But it only concerns us tonight because they won't stay in the woods by themselves. Messages like this must be preached because the wolves won't stay off in the woods. They're going to come in to the fold. That's where you find the wolves in the New Testament. I've already mentioned it in Acts, and Timothy warns, and 2 Peter 2, there's a whole chapter on that, that there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Peter says, who will privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying that the Lord bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So Peter tells them, read the whole chapter of 2 Peter 2. Peter is warning the churches, there will be false teachers even among you. You have to be on guard. You have to be watching out for people who will come in among you. The wolves are going to go where the prey is. They're going to go where the sheep are. That's why it's a must that we be discerning. False prophets are subtle. And we have to be on guard. You know, they preach subtly. They will slide in things that aren't obvious at first, but just a little bit of time, just a little bit of lie, a little bit of error, and then once you get turned the wrong direction, it doesn't take long to just keep turning and moving people on. They have maybe a good message for the unsaved, a comfortable message for the lost, an uplifting message for sinners, a patriotic message for Americans, a hard stance against unpopular sins. You know, it's easy to preach against some sins. I was looking this week, and all kinds of big celebrity preachers were going on about guns and that kind of thing, and you know, that's to be expected from people who don't care about people's souls. They see which way the wind's blowing and the popular opinion, they get out in front of it and they just, you know, they ride that wave. And so now, you know, you're going to be, whatever the popular thing is, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to find some Bible verse to try to apply it, and they'll get out in front of it and they'll just go the way. You know, it's easy to preach against mass murder. It's harder to preach against murdering somebody in your heart over anger. It's easy to preach against the government, but it's harder to preach on the government of the home or the government of the church and that sort of thing. It's easy to preach against Hollywood, but what about the woman's place? It's easy to preach against sins out there, but what about sins in here? So that's what the false prophet does. The false prophet will give you what you want to hear, but he's just using you in order to get something from you. The motive of a wolf is not for the good of the sheep. It's not for their edification. It's not for their salvation. But it is not to make you mad. Now, that's not love. We often need to hear things that we don't want to hear or we don't like to hear. But it's only loving to do such things, to give you a message that you need, not necessarily one that you want. But the false prophet will give you something that you don't need, and he'll sugar it down to make you think that you do need it. So you need to see the danger here. The wolf is dressed up to look like a Christian. And he's trying to deceive you, not because he loves you, but because he wants to devour you. But you know how that happens, right? It's It's the shepherd that is fighting against the wolf that the sheep will say, well, he's awful unloving. He's not very kind. He's pretty judgmental to talk about these other people like that. But we have to be discerning. We have to be on guard. And we have to be able to see how people are out to destroy our souls. They don't have our good in mind. So how are we supposed to spot a false prophet? Well, that takes us to the second illustration. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? So we have an assurance here that we will be able to know them by their fruits. You shall, Jesus says. So that's an assurance. You can tell, you can spot somebody. A good tree will have good fruit, and a bad tree will have bad fruit. The fruit comes from the tree. And if you got a bad tree, or you've got the wrong kind of tree, you're not going to get good fruit out of it. You can't take a bunch of golden delicious apples and take their seeds and plant an orchard. And the only way to get a golden delicious apple is you have to graft or get a plant set off another golden delicious apple. Because if you plant those seeds, it's not going to grow a golden delicious apple tree. It's not going to, you're going to have maybe crab apple. You're going to have who knows what. And it's going to grow and it's going to look like an apple tree. And then it's going to have apples on that tree. And then you take a bite of it and it's most likely not going to taste very good. The tree has fruit. But it's not going to be good fruit. So the only way you can tell, is this a good tree or a bad tree, is you got to look at the fruit. Is this tree going to produce good tasting apples, or is it going to produce bad tasting apples? Well, if you taste it and it's bad, then you got a bad tree and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's why Jesus said they're good for nothing but to be cut down and cast in the fire. Well, false prophet is a bad tree. And the bad trees will have bad fruit. A good tree will have good fruit. A bad tree will have bad fruit. So you judge the tree by the fruit. How do I know if this is a good tree or a bad tree? Well, eat the fruit. And I'll tell you. How do I know if this is a good prophet or a bad prophet? Look at the fruit. Look at his life. Look at his doctrine. You know, there's much, I don't want to say much controversy, but there's debate as to whether this means the fruit of his doctrine or the fruit of his life. And if you read Luke's account of this, it's not this sermon, it's a different sermon, I think. But if you read the Sermon on the Mount Luke has, it stresses the doctrine. Here Matthew stresses the actions. So in verse 21 of Matthew 7, it's talking about doing the will. He that doeth the will. In verse 23, work iniquity. Verse 24, whoever does the sayings of Jesus. So that whole section here is about works, about what they do. You know, and then, like I said, in Luke chapter 6, verse 43, the application is the more towards the teaching of it. So I think it probably refers to both the works and the doctrine. So you need to judge a man by his works and his doctrine. How he lives and what he does. Now listen, Jesus isn't teaching this, but this is just a practical point to think about here. How are you going to judge a man that lives 1,000 miles away? How are you going to judge somebody that comes on your TV and you see him 30 minutes a week and they've got him, you know, got the makeup on to make him look good, and they've got it all edited down, and everything's flowing just fine. Now, how are you going to judge this man's works? You don't know him. Now, see, you can watch me, and you can watch how I treat my wife, and you can watch how I treat my kids, and you can watch how I act and how I don't act, and then you can come to church, and you can hear what I say, and when you get done, if you think I said something wrong, you can ask me, you say, could you clarify something for me? And that's the way to do it. You know, if I say something you don't think I said right, ask me. I might have misspoke. Or you may have misheard. You don't know, but that's the way you do it. But you can't do that with these people in in the big on TV and on the radio. You can't watch their life. You can't see how they live. You don't know how they treat their wives and their families. And I'm afraid too many people will follow the wolf because they've got a bunch of sheep following after them. That doesn't make for a good strategy, does it? If there is a wolf who's leading thousands of sheep off into the woods to slaughter them, it's not a logical thing to say, well, there's an awful lot of sheep following him. I think I'll join in. That's not what Jesus says. He doesn't say, you shall know them by how many sheep and goats follow after him. You'll know him by his fruits. You'll know him by his works. So the point is, you can't, unless you're a member of a local body, you're going to have a hard time judging a false prophet. But people will buy into people that they don't even know and follow after them because of because of celebrity or whatever. Good fruit is people living and their life and their doctrine. What would the fruit be? Fruit would be the Beatitudes. The fruit would be living as Jesus had said here. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love and peace and joy. It's not perfection, of course. Obviously it's not perfection. But you can look at a man's life. If a man comes in and with preaching something that sounds a little off, and you look at his life and you get away from the church and he's telling dirty jokes and you see him and he's not living right, he's cheating on his wife. You say that wouldn't happen. Well, there's pastors that do that. There's people that do that, and they just keep on. And you see this person, and you say, well, something's a little off about him. And look at him there with his filthy mouth, he treats his wife poorly, yells at his wife, he doesn't spend time with his kids. You say, well, this guy's got rotten fruit. This guy's got rotten fruit, and I'm not going to listen to what he has to say because Jesus says you know him by their fruit. Or you could have a nice moral man who comes in with a false doctrine, and you listen to what he says and you say, you know, that's rotten. What he's saying is rotten. That's rotten fruit. I'm going to stay away from this guy. He's dangerous. You know them by their fruit. So Jesus says, you're not going to go gather grapes from the thorns or figs from thistles. All right, you're not going to go, if you're going to pick blackberries, you're not going to go look in an oak tree. You know, my dad would fire you in the orchard if he sends you out to pick apples and you're out there picking up acorns. You're after apples. You're after the wrong thing and you're looking in the wrong place. Well, if you want good truth, if you want good doctrine, you got to go to the right place. You got to go to where the true men of God are and not go after the bad. You know, a man who is living a sinful life, preaching a horrid doctrine, you think that's a good, sound man to follow? You can read in 1 and 2 Timothy where Paul stresses so much Timothy and his life. You know, growing in Christ, see, the pastor must be a man of God. If he's a man of God, how is he going to act? Is he going to act like a child of the devil? Is a man of God going to act like the child of the devil? Is he going to act like his father? You, Christian, you are people of God. You're the children of God. Are you going to act like the children of God? Or are you going to act like your father? Or are you going to act like the devil? Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. You know, everybody needs to be growing in grace. Everybody. And we can all look back. If you've been saved for 20 years, you can look back in your life 15 years and say, boy, I can't believe I used to do that or think that or act like that. But you've grown, you've matured. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul told Timothy that he should always be growing and that his growth should be evident to the people that hear him. So, you know, in 20 years, you all should say, boy, he's really come a long way. You know, You know, he's not much now, but he's a lot better than he used to be. You know, that's what you should be able to say about me. I should be growing. You should be growing. We all should be godlier than we are. But you just got to look at the fruit. You see the fruit of the Spirit there. That's how you judge them. That's how you judge fruit of life and fruit of doctrine. This is serious. It is. Your soul is at stake. The false prophet, the wolf, is dangerous. And there's a big difference between somebody who's just deceived and somebody who knowingly is deceiving. There's a difference between somebody who doesn't know any better and somebody who puts on the sheep's clothes. So this is what, and Jesus, his harshest criticism for anybody in his preaching is for those people who lead other people astray. This is a special category of people who knowingly and willingly put on the garb of Christianity to prey upon the souls of God's people. Beware. Be on the lookout. John says in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Beware of those funny-looking sheep. Look at their fruits. Listen to their words. And be on guard. And may God give us a discerning mind and may the Lord bless us and keep us. And we'll stand and be dismissed in word of prayer. And Brother Delbert, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?